Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here with some special bonus coverage here during your Survivor Final 7 Do or Die week. We are so lucky to have with us such a great guest, such a podcasting Goliath here with us to talk about Survivor 41. Of course, you know him from his work on Crooked Media, the Take Line podcast. He's covering the NBA with the All Caps, of course. They're covering all things pop culture on X-Ray Vision. Of course, covering Survivor on the No Buffs podcast. Please welcome back to the podcast the great Jason Concepcion. Jason, how are you?
I'm absolutely delighted to be back and to be with a Long Island legend, a Long Island Survivor legend.
Yes.
It is, it is my honor, my true honor.
Jason, I have so enjoyed the texts from you all season long, getting your running commentary of everything, that it's just been so fun to, go on this ride with you for season 41.
Same. If you would have told me 3 years ago, you'd be able to just text Rob Cicerino about Survivor, I'd be like, wait, what? Really? Mm-hmm. It's so fun. It's fun. And it's a fun season to talk about.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad you're here. One of your recent texts was that you felt like that Tiffany was all-time Long Island great Survivor.
I think she represented
Mount
the
Rushmore.
Island well.
Yeah.
I think she represented it well. She reminds me of, I mean, she...
Every single person.
Actually, so I grew up in Bethpage. And so she's, I believe, in Hicksville, which is like the next town, or East Meadow or something like that. Very mm-hmm. close by, like the next town over.
Yeah.
So she is just reminds me of many people that I knew.
I grew up in East Meadow, and then my parents moved to Wantagh. I went there when I started high school, we went to Wantagh.
Right there on the southern
and
shore.
That's ideally, if you really want to have a kid perfect, grow up the social best way to do it. Start be a new kid first day of high school.
Yeah,
that's really
right. Yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
ideal.
Regarding whether she's one of the great survivors I from Long Island, it's mostly, I think she was a great character.
Yeah.
But I loved her. Her Ponderosa was all time. Her Ponderosa was like, I just wanted to hang out. I mean, it's like it starts with her, her walk to medical and the weigh in and stuff. And mm-hmm. she is just firing shot after shot after shot. And I'm like, man, this was. What a fun personality. I wish we had seen more of her. It was kind of bad luck on her part, but it was a fun ride while it lasted.
It was a fun ride while it lasted. All-time character, Long Island or not,
yeah.
for Tiffany. But so let me get your take on where we're at right now
yeah.
this week. So, of course, we had the big do-or-die twist on mm-hmm. the show, which part of me, I sort of like that it's like, okay, well, we'll always remember this round. You know, yeah. This is one that was the do or die round. So it's the final seven. And, you know, we'll always remember that Deshaun had this amazing call.
Defied, gut shot call,
defied Monty Hall and Christian Hubicki and all of the numbers. And he went for it and he made it. And I feel like that for me, I think it made it sort of like, okay, this was not a disaster this week. But what did you think?
Similar to you and same with Steven, I'm results oriented in this. Mm-hmm. It turned out great. It turned out the best possible option of what could have happened. I thought it would have been really, really, really disappointing had Deshaun gone home just because of bad luck. I think that there is a world. I don't necessarily dislike this twist. I think that there's a world in which, you know, you send somebody to an exile island, some kind of isolation where they're away from the tribe for a day and then they have to come back and something like that. But it would have been really rough had he just gone home. In that sense, it was super suspenseful, very fun. I was on the edge of my seat when it happened. You know, once again, I'm viewing it in a positive light because it turned out the best way.
Jason, when I watched the episode again earlier today, and I was just thinking, like, if you were in this spot that Deshaun is in, and, you know, he is, like, back against the wall, like, had this all not happened, like, he probably would be the person who goes home at this vote. Do you think if they did this in a future season, somebody who's in, like, dire straits could potentially say, hey, I'll let me go into the do or die, but let me get the trial by combat here, because at least I'm probably not going to win immunity and it's better odds than the shot in the dark. Otherwise, especially with if it's going to be the Monty Hall problem, which we've sort of broken down this week to get you 2/3 of a shot. I mean, it's not the worst play in the world.
I agree. And I think as a stand-in for the shot in the dark, they can futz with the odds, maybe put a couple more boxes out there to make it work better, to make it a little less, a little less 1 out of 3, or at least on the first round. Then I think that could bring the shot in the dark more into the game. I found myself wondering what I would do in this situation, right? Now, did you know the Monty Hall problem coming into this?
No, I knew the name of it. I knew it's Let's Make a Deal. And I know you're supposed to switch, but I never understood why. Yeah.
Right. And again, thanks to Christian Hubicki, Dr. Christian, who I watched him on your stream, explained it wonderfully well. The thing that really helped me get into how it works is, one, the explanation of, imagine 100 boxes, right? So 100, you pick a box, and then the host, knowing where the correct answer is, opens 98 other boxes, which are not the one. Then you definitely switch, right? You know, mm-hmm. Because what are the odds that you picked the right one on the first try, 1 out of 100? Mm-hmm. And the other part of it that really helped me was that the host knows, right? Yeah. The host is opening that box because it's not that one. So that helps make it a little less of an illusion. And yet, I feel like Deshaun, if I had this strong feeling that it was that box, I would have stuck with it. I would have stuck with it, and I'll tell you why. Because to me, the cost of disappointment, had I switched and been wrong, would have been too much. I would never be able to stop thinking about it if I switched and I went home. That's it.
Yeah.
If I stayed with it and then I went home, I would have went, you know what? It was a feeling and I went with it and I went home.
Jeff but opens
if I
switched, the box. It would have crushed me. You should have kept that one. So close. So close, Deshaun.
Here's another thing that we raised on No Buffs. Skeets came up with this.
Yes.
Survivor 41, it's a whole new Survivor, right? Keep the one, drop the four. Is it always going to be that first one? Was that on purpose? You know, I understand that technically, like, there's the boxes aren't numbered, but you count from left to right.
Keep the one. Is that the clue?
Right. Keep the one, drop the four. I wonder if that's on purpose.
Hmm. I would guess, I love the theory, and Skeets has some good ones, but I suspect not. That seems a little cute.
I agree. It does seem a little cute, but I like the idea.
Somebody I saw on Twitter, and look, you get a little, see a lot of crazy stuff on Twitter. But somebody said that they felt like that Jeff was motioning to, and I went back and I didn't see anything. Did you feel like that Jeff gave anything away?
I rewatched right before I got on with you. And I didn't see that at all. And in fact, you know, as a game show, it feels like this is a thing I argue a lot about with people who don't watch Survivor and are familiar with reality TV only through the lens of like The Bachelor and stuff. It's like, no, this is a game show for money. It's different. You can't just cheat and tell people how to do it because it's different rules. It's actual competition. So I don't think that Jeff did that. I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. And I doubt that he would ever do that. I don't think he would do that.
I had been wondering myself this week that, do you think that Jeff wanted Deshaun to pick the wrong box? Like, what was the preferred outcome for Jeff?
I think he would have loved Deshaun to stay.
Yes.
Personally. I really think that. I think he would have loved Deshaun to stay, especially, you know, diversity, the history of Survivor with regards to diversity. It's been such a topic of conversation and I think a really fruitful, honest, and heartfelt and important conversation. And because of that, and for, you know, because Deshaun's a good player, it'd be great to not lose a great player just because of chance, you know, mm-hmm. in that moment. I think he probably, you know, in his heart wanted him to stay.
You know, I would love to get your take on how you feel like Survivor has done talking about like these important issues this season, because that, you know, in your podcasting, and I was telling you before you we came on that, you know, you are, you know, so well versed in so many different areas between sports and pop culture and politics. And so that you're such a perfect person. And of course, you do a lot of this on the Take Line, talking about sort of like the intersection of, you know, the important social issues of our time and sports. And I was really curious to know how you felt like that Survivor is doing as they are sort of really this season taking on social issues and how they intersect with Survivor.
I think that they've done a great job. And I think in particular last episode, that tribal is like all time, mm-hmm. all time. Liana, Deshaun were so eloquent and heartfelt and talked about their experiences in a way that was real and relatable. And I think it really affected people. And I hope that they heard it. Mm-hmm. You come into Survivor, if you're Deshaun, with a lot of baggage. If you're Deshaun, if you're Liana, if you're Danny, with baggage that other players just aren't going to have. They're not going to have to worry about, you know, am I going to go home and people think that I'm a sellout because I voted out Shan? You know, it's a completely different vibe. And that weighs on them. The other thing I loved about that tribal was, you know, it was like an unburdening. It was it felt like, you know, they had this historic Black alliance and it obviously fractured. And this kind of venting of their feelings was in a way a kind of lifting of this weight, or an attempt to lift this weight so that they could just play like everybody else. You know, Liana said it well, which is like, there's people at home that are like, can we just watch Survivor? I guarantee you the players, Liana, Danny, Deshaun, everybody who's playing this season wishes, you know, they just want to play Survivor. Whenever on one of my podcasts, there's an issue to talk about that's outside of sports that is about the intersection of sports and social justice, et cetera, you know, I'll often find myself saying, listen, I wish we would just could talk about the game right now, mm-hmm. but that's not the world we live in. Like, these things crash into each other. And I'm hopeful after that really amazing display that they feel that they have the latitude to just make the moves that they feel benefit their game without having to worry. You know, I hope that they feel that freedom now to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and to answer your question, I think the show's really done well. These have been important conversations, and they've been really, conveyed clearly and with real emotion by like real people. That's the other thing. It's like, these are just folks from every walk of life. You know what I mean? Like, these are just like not professional sports millionaires, not TV stars. These are just folks. This is like the things that they deal with out in the outside world and the things that they're dealing with now that they've been elevated to this position of intense interest on Survivor.
Jason, so where do you feel like we go from here? That coming into this next episode that we're going to see, that I think it's just such an interesting point because we're going to have these three pairs of two. And I don't remember a lot of, like, I've been like going through like my mental like files of, other final twos that were like this, where you have, a pair, and a pair. At the final, and basically, two of the pairs are likely going to team up on one of the pairs, but right. Who's going to be the pair that's going to go down at the final six?
It feels like Danny DeShawn are the strongest and the longest running to this point, right? I have no idea where it's going to go. The one thing that I can be sure of is that you bring the goat this far, you're going to bring the goat all the way. Heather is going to be there in a final three, I feel like, because, again, everybody feels like they can beat her, and they're right. So that's the only thing I'm kind of sure of. What is so fun to me about this season right now is I can see a path for everybody. Some paths are more windy and longer than others. Others are more straight shot paths, but I can see a way that everyone but Heather wins this game.
Yeah.
And that is really, really exciting. What do you think as the expert, the ultimate expert, where do you see, see happening?
That I've been feeling like that for the move for Erica and Heather, I feel like that they need to get the original tribe back together, because to me, I feel like that Ricard and Xander are the more dangerous pair. And I feel like that, for Erica and Heather, maybe for Erica, it's like, oh, I don't know if I can beat Danny and Deshaun if I go to the end, but like, could you beat Ricard and Xander if you go to the end with them? And I just feel like that, Ricard has the best resume. Xander has the idol. And so I feel like that the move would be to, let's get Luvu back together, and at least let's knock out one of those two. And then if you're Eric and Heather, like, maybe you could pick up the remaining person on the other way. And then basically, you got to the final four, Eric and Heather could be like in the position where, okay, they're a pair and the other two are sort of like, if you have like one of Danny or Deshaun and Xander or Ricard, maybe, both of them are trying to get to the end with Eric and Heather.
Here is the big move still left on the board. It feels like whoever engineers Ricard going home, if it can happen, that person is in the catbird seat. That person is then the leader in the clubhouse. And I think for that reason, I mean, every target's got to be on Ricard. I thought it was a kind of a mistake maybe by Xander to not vote Ricard.
Vote to keep Ricard.
I think that there's a world. Now, Xander all season has been a gambler, which has made his gameplay so exciting because he just takes chances and they have paid off for him, obviously, up to this point. And I think clearly the chance he is taking now is, I've got my idol. I've been under fire this entire time. I had the great reversal of the knowledge is power advantage against Liana. I've got a resume and I'm a good player. I'll put my resume up against Ricard's, who I can work with right now, and bet that in the end that I can beat him. Now, it is a bet. That is a gamble. But man, I don't know. Ricard is that kind of player who is capable of coming up with something that you didn't see coming.
But does he have anything left? Does Ricard have a big move that's left?
That's the thing. I mean, I guess it's like, who finds that idol out there? That's out there. Like,
the idol looming large for the next episode. I did pay attention to the preview, especially when I just watched the episode. And idol really seems to be a big part of the final six.
Yeah. So whoever gets that is sitting extremely pretty, and that will be a big deal. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, the resume, you know, the John Hancock on the resume right now for everybody who's not Ricard is, how can I get Ricard out? How can I be the person and, you know, like the Queen of Roses in Game of Thrones, let Cersei know it was me. How do I do it and let everybody know it was me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For Xander, do you feel like that the resume is that impressive? I mean, that he did have the big moment with the knowledge is power. I was surprised that he seemed to be taking a lot of credit for the Shan blindside in this episode.
I was surprised at that as well. But listen, who among us has not inflated their resume mm-hmm. at times when we needed a job?
But with us, like with us, yeah. I'm like, yeah, we watched the episode. You were barely on it.
You're barely on it. I think that, you know, the issue with Xander is a lot of his most impressive stuff happened pre-merge when it, you know, mattered less. It simply mm-hmm. mattered less. Like the Lyanna move was great. At that point, lots of other shiny objects rose to the fore and the target moved off of Xander. And I agree with you. Ricard's resume is better. Mm-hmm. The Shan move was the defining move thus far of the season. But like, I think Xander's got a pretty good resume, you know, considering everybody that was left. I wanted to ask you this, cause this is a, you know, the advantages have been such a point of conversation over this season. One, how do you feel about them? And two, is there anything, I am of the opinion that what this, you know, more than the taking the advantages out or changing them or whatever, more than that, what this season really needed was like a pre-merge tribe swap. Mm-hmm. Like, we just had one tribe run with it. Like, to the point where, listen, Luvu was not going to lose a challenge, period. There's like, it's not going to happen. There's no way ever they were ever going to lose to anybody. They just physically had the three best, like three of the best competitors in the game physically. So I just felt like, could we not have broken them up earlier somehow?
That's interesting. And, you know, I have not really heard that take, because I've been saying that, like, hey, don't do a tribe swap for a long time, because I felt like that it makes it for a clearer story. Like, I feel like that, you know, I've really been, you know, for the last couple of years talking about how, you know, I think that Survivor is at its best when we feel like we really understand the characters and they could really tell the story. And I feel like that a lot of times when we have the tribe swap, it gets very confusing. Wait, who's on what tribe? What's going on?
Right.
It is a smaller cast this season, so maybe it might have worked to go from, you know, three tribes to two tribes at one point. But we also, you know, Luvu, you know, that six, we didn't really get to know. But I do feel like that, especially like at Ua, like we really spent like a lot of meaningful time there. And the Shan and Ricard stuff ended up being like so powerful because it was really earned, that I felt like that you really got to see those two go through, you know, all of their, you know, trials and tribulations to get to this point. So, It would have been interesting in a shorter season, though. I'm just not sure if there's like enough time to really like explain it. But that is a really good point about how, you know, maybe that might have like, you know, helped at least like shake up the playing field a little bit.
Yeah. And it feels like, you know, Shipwheel Island always different kind of advantages served at least to kind of mix the cast up a little bit, you know, put surprising pairings and triplings together.
Yeah.
But man, it just felt like, gosh, the blue tribe was just not going to lose. Every time they walked into the arena,
they tried to lose. Yeah.
They tried and they couldn't even do it.
They couldn't. Yeah.
They couldn't even do it when they tried. Next time, cut Nasir in on the plan and maybe it'll happen.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Jason, I want to ask you about something else that you texted me this week, where you sent me the secret scene that we saw with Xander and Liana. And so that my backstory on this was that I did a podcast over the weekend with Shannon Gus, who is our chief international Survivor correspondent. And she does a great job talking about all things Survivor and Survivor strategy. And she was jokingly talking about how Xander and Liana, like, I think that they're, you know, there's something there. There's, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think they're going to end up, you know, with the three kids and married after all this is over. And it's like, ha, 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 very funny. So when I saw that link on the Survivor Reddit to like, oh, Xander has a crush on Liana, I was like, what is this? Like, I thought somebody just like re-edited, like made like a parody video. And I didn't think it was a deep fake, but I thought it was just like, okay, made like a Frankenbite and made like Xander has a crush on Liana. And then I said, because why does new stuff come out on, what was it, Wednesday? Like, what are they dropping new scenes from last week's episode on Wednesday? Yeah. I mean, look, it's a little weird. The Shan Ponderosa video didn't come out until Monday. I don't even know if Liana has a Ponderosa video yet.
I've not seen it.
I don't know why they're staggering the release of the secret scenes throughout the week. Drop the four, keep the one, I guess. But and you said that to me, and I watched it. I was like, oh my God. Like, I couldn't believe this video where if you watch it, that because there was a secret scene that kind of covered this material already, where Xander said, like, told Liana, I'm telling mom on you. I'm going to go tell Shan. And Shan's like, what do you want from me? But in this version of the scene, we saw where Xander is saying that, like, he kind of has a crush on Liana.
It was same as you. I had heard this raised. It was a topic of conversation whether Xander has a crush, like in various Survivor chats I'm in. Right. I saw it on Reddit, and I saw no evidence of this. I was like, yeah, whatever. We're just shipping two people because they're the two youngest people, mm-hmm. and they're roughly the same age. And so I fell out of my chair when I watched that video. I watched it like four or five times in a row just because I love, you know, I love a rom-com. I love a meet cute. I love moments like that. And I got to say, a lot of stuff kind of seems clearer now in mm-hmm. retrospect. I heard Liana on your podcast.
Yes, she was very clear. She is very in a clear, happy relationship.
That's it. She's in a happy relationship, period. Now, that doesn't mean you can't flirt and have a, you know, we've all been there. You're in a relationship, but, you know, sometimes there's the flirting that happens and it's nice, mm-hmm. right? In a workplace or somewhere or whatever. It doesn't mean anything, but, you know, it happens. I got to say, having watched that video again, like five or six, seven times in a row, I think it's reciprocated too a little bit in that moment. You know, I think there was a little bit of chemistry there. I mean, the moment when, so Xander is looking for the idol. Liana is tagging behind him. She says, like, a little sister trying to be a pest, trying to keep him from doing it. And then she like puts him in a bear hug mm-hmm. and says, don't push me. Don't push me. Don't push me. You just put him in a bear hug. He's literally not doing anything. And then they go to the confessional where she's like, I was being physical with him, but I didn't want to be physical with him. I was just like, and then the way she reacts when Shan does tell her, there's some blushing going on. I got to tell you, it put a lot of things in perspective because again, you know, the perception, and I think the fair one, up to this point has been, man, Liana really wants Xander out. Yeah. I hate his face, I think is the actual quote, which, mm-hmm. you know, you say things in the heat of the moment. Like, But that was said.
But hate is, you know, hate a lot closer to love than indifference.
And now all of a sudden, I got to say, it's like, okay, you hate this person, but you're following them around all the time and you're always talking about them. I don't know. I think that there's a little bit, there's a smoldering ember under the smoke. That's all I'm saying. And I understand that Liana's in it.
So
a happy and committed relationship.
We heard Liana's response to this week on the exit interview, but I was thinking about it from Xander's perspective, and we haven't had the chance to talk to him yet. Do you think, is there any chance that he introduced this information as a Hail Mary, as sort of this is very disarming. You know, this is my rival. Wait, what do you mean you have a crush on me?
It did cross my mind because Xander is that kind of player, right? Mm-hmm. Who could have thought of something like that. I guess my only thing is, to what end? Just to kind of muddy the waters?
I think that, you know, that what a way to disarm someone who is like trying to get you out of the game. And now, of course, like we can hold both of these things in our hands at once of like, he could have like be feeling this way and decided, okay, this is the time to release this information because what a way to potentially like open the door to get her maybe onto my side and not be gunning for me.
It did cross my mind. I'm choosing to believe that it was real. Certainly until we hear from him, we can't hear from him now, but certainly until we hear from him, I'm sure Jeff will ask it I've never been more sure of anything that Jeff will ask it at the finale.
Yeah.
It's taped on the island, right? So maybe not.
But that I do know that they have a 3-hour block for that night. So, I mean, Winners at War, they kind of did use up those 3 hours and they basically had like 10 minutes where they like Jeff opened the votes in his garage and asked Tony two questions. So they can use up those 3 hours, but they also had the Edge of Extinction. They also had, I think it was a Final Six. So here it's going to be, I'm assuming it's going to be Final Five. No Edge of Extinction. So I got to think that we're going to have some sort of a follow up on the finale. But from what I understand, I think they did do the vote reveal on the island in Fiji for the first time since season one. Drop the four, keep the one, I guess. So I don't know what if there is some sort of reunion, what it looks like. Is it like every people on Zoom or, you know, exactly how they would do that?
So we're going to have to wait until a debrief, perhaps on Rob Has a Podcast with Xander to find out. I think they will do something.
I get the sense that they'll do something because I just don't think that they have enough material for 3 hours, even if it's just like, you know, Jeff doing like one-on-one like interviews and like catching up with everybody. And it's not a group setting.
Now, with regards to the material, now that you've raised that subject, the number one reaction to this from everyone who I've shown it to was, man, how did that not make the show? Rob, how did that not make the show?
That is a really good question. So it takes place in the Shan episode last week, which was, such a like a great like. I think that last week's episode was like an all time, not like this season, but like an all time episode of Survivor, Shan's Blindside and all of the stuff.
It was a great one.
I don't know if that like particular, a comedic moment. Yeah. Ends up fitting in with that storyline. You have everything that's going on with the Black Alliance, Shan and Deshaun, and then Shan and Ricard's relationship, and then Liana gets the information. It's like Xander did not even have like get a like line of dialogue in the episode as a whole. Like we definitely did not have time for his story of like, I don't know what you could have cut out of last week's episode.
Yeah, I that's where I fell on it too, as a person who has to edit stuff and oversee editing of material. You have to be comfortable, editing out your favorite bits. And that must have been a hard one to do. I think you're absolutely right.
You got to kill your babies.
You got to do it. And I think you're exactly right in that thematically. It's hard to see how you put this in and keep the through line of, the blind side of Shan, keep that kind of like a main through line throughout. Without this aside, really doesn't feel like it fit, but man, it was a wonderful, I'm glad they gave it to us. Just mm-hmm. to say that. I'm glad that they gave it to us.
Yeah, because this has not been a season of light moments on Survivor. And
it has not.
And really, I feel like that's, in covering the show for so long, like I feel like that Survivor is sort of just like this weird mishmash of, the serious and the strategic and the very silly. And yeah. This has, I think, been the least silly season that we've had through 41 seasons.
I mean, you might be right. I mean,
it's very, very serious.
I mean, 39 was very serious as well.
Sure.
But I think you're exactly right. There are a lot of this 41 is the culmination of a lot of conversations that have happened. I'm thinking of the really important open letter released by a former Black Survivor contestants, and it's the culmination of a lot of things that players of color have talked about over the years, and so it feels like all those topics are kind of coming to the top and are being talked about. And so you're right, it's been a heavy, but I think really important, and as it's gathered steam, a really entertaining season of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back and talk about Erica this week, because that she was really the person who was driving this vote, and she had a decision to make of vote against Ricard or vote out Liana. And I think that episode sort of like hid a little bit that Liana was potentially going to be the person who went home if Deshaun was going to, I know Liana said she might play her shot in the dark, but I don't think that her name was really spoken about in terms of like what the players were going to do. And so Erica basically had to make this call, which is basically Liana or Ricard, and she chose to vote out Ricard. She said before voted out Liana and stuck with Ricard. She said that before the tribal council, this quote jumped out at me. She felt like, that do you go against the person that can beat you or the person you don't trust? And it seems like that she went against the person that she couldn't trust in Liana.
Yeah, she said in that same quote, something that really hit for me, just talking about how, you're sitting at home and you're like, you idiot, do this. Like, it seems so obvious when you're at home. But she said, when you're here, you realize like how important it is that you can trust people. And I think I don't envy her position. It is very hard, thinking about the conversation we've been having about, representation on Survivor and the Black Alliance and the issues they raised about being an ally. It's, and I've seen a lot of conversations where people are like, what about Erica and Ricard? They're people of color as well.
Yeah.
It's obviously it's important to be an ally whenever. It's so different on Survivor where you're an ally at the same time you're worrying, are these people I'm an ally to outside of this game going to send me home tonight? Are they going to send me mm-hmm. packing tonight? That's not a thing that you have to worry. You think about in the world where you can support people. And it's important.
Well, it's interesting that word ally, in the context of Survivor, does have this double meaning.
So for Erica, it's just she is so in the middle in a multitude of ways. On the one hand, she's been on the outside of a lot of alliances. She has Heather, who, is a loose cannon to, as from what we've seen thus far, Heather is like, a balloon that you're just holding by the spout. You let it go and you're not sure where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's currently playing with people who I think from a lot of angles have stronger resumes, better physical players, et cetera. And yet she finds herself in this position of power, caught between a fractured, Black Alliance that is fracturing, and then the rest of the group. It's on the one hand, it's been really, I've really loved watching her come into her own as a character and as a player. But it's a tough, if I'm Heather, I think I want to sit across from eventually, right? I want to sit across from Heather, obviously. And I'd love to sit across from, I think I could beat, I think there's a world in which I could beat Danny if America. And then the rest, I'm honestly unsure. But I want to try and make that happen. How does that happen? Is there a path for that to happen? I'm not sure. But I will say this, like we were saying previously. If Heather can engineer Ricard's elimination, the boot for yeah. Ricard, that is a huge step up for her. And then it's kind of an open game at that point. So I if I'm her, I'm thinking, how do I get Ricard? How do I get him? How do I make that happen? Yeah. How do I be on the side that does that?
That's a must. You gotta take care of Ricard. I think that the person that I see as the best final three person for Erica, along with Heather, is I feel like that the combination is Heather and Deshaun, because I think that but you have potentially Shan and Liana could be still, you know, angry right. with Deshaun. And so you have, you know, a lot of, you know, and maybe Evie feels like good about Deshaun, that Evie had a relationship yeah. with Deshaun. But I feel like that there might be like a coalition of, you know, that Erica has like the big underdog Sandra energy potentially.
Yeah.
You have potentially some like bitter Deshaun votes. And in an 8-person jury, you know, you might be able to get there with four, you know, although that I guess that presumes that Heather's going to get a vote. So I think you probably the five, I think, is going to be the winning number.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, for Erica, again, she needs a big move at this point. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, a resume sealer. She's the involvement in the Shan boot, you know, tweaking that a little bit to make to keep herself safe. Putting her input in there, helping to mastermind that, I think was important. But, you know, it's been so interesting to this point because Shan, others have talked about her as, you know, she's so sneaky. She's a mastermind. And until the Shan vote, we really had not seen it. So it's been nice to see it happening more, to see mm-hmm. that kind of strategic thinking.
Do you get into a winner edit or anything like that? Are you a edit reader?
I am. I do find myself doing it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I try, you know, Survivor for me is, you noted all the stuff I do. With all the stuff I'm watching and consuming, a lot of times I feel like, you know, I've just got to pay attention. I'm taking like voluminous notes. I'm doing other research outside of the actual show to get ready for the stuff. With Survivor, I just love putting it on, sitting back yeah. and just like, enjoying it. So I try not to pay attention to the edit, yeah. but I do end up paying attention to it. And so, you know, for instance, the Shan vote, I was pretty sure that it was not a lot of mystery to me mm-hmm. going into it. I was pretty sure it was going to be her.
Yeah, I mean, they really just treated it with so much gravitas that you felt like yeah. it was definitely going to happen. You know, it definitely. I don't know if you talked about this, but you know, there was like certainly like a red wedding vibes, and just yes. the yes. and the revote was like just sort of like you know Rob Stark, where you know he's been wounded, like he knows yes. like it's you know that it was just like the fate was sealed, but just a great moment, but. To go with the edit thing, you know, I try not to look at it also, but I also just feel like that sometimes like that I pay attention to like who has enough of an edit to potentially be the winner.
Right.
Like right. I sort of like want to see like who has just like a baseline level that we could talk about them as like winner candidate.
Gosh. I mean, you'd have to say Ricard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Top. Then I would say, Sean and Xander as like a
yeah.
second tier.
Yeah.
Then I guess Danny put himself over the top this
week,
episode.
I mean, a great episode for Danny. And, you know, it's sort of like a double-edged sword where it was almost like I kind of felt like they were holding back some of the Danny content. And of course, like he had these moments in this episode, but it feels like that, you know, they were basically like saving like his intro package here for episode 11.
Yeah. And then below that, I would say Erica, although obviously rising, some of that by necessity, because we're, you know, we're losing people every week. And then Heather, standing somewhere out on the beach, like way, way, way away from this, exercise. You know, definitely Ricard at the top of that edit wise. What is your read on that?
No, I agree 100% with what you said. And Danny, you know, I was looking at him as somebody where I was probably too low on him on the podcast, because I just felt like that I wasn't seeing enough from him to like put him in that baseline category of like enough of an edit. People are like, Danny seems like a great guy, like no doubt. But I just wasn't seeing anything really. Last week, I feel like it started where he's the one that has the plan to go against Ricard, and then this week, of course, he has the big moment talking about his dad and then winning the immunity, and then great moments at tribal council. So yeah, I think that Danny is in the mix, but probably not a top three contender for me.
I think it's Ricard. It would be at this point shocking, the edit is saying Ricard. Edit is saying Ricard.
Just sticking with Danny for a moment, he is an athlete, of course, that you also, cover a lot of professional athletes yourself. What do you think about the professional athletes on Survivor? Is Danny making a case for the best professional athlete to ever make a run on the show?
Oh, wow. I think...
Because who has the belt?
Of Culpepper, right?
Yeah.
Culpepper has the belt because of... Now, it's a divisive belt, and I didn't... aside from what Brad is like as a real person, in my mind, it was a villain edit last time I watched him. But it's undoubted...
A villain edit in Game Changers?
Yes, he's played, and he's been a presence in the show multiple times. And so I guess I would give it to him at this point. And then we have John Rocker. That was rough.
He's not in the conversation.
Cliff Robinson, who it's tough with the NBA guys, because you're like, you're 6'9" and I think I kind of recognize you, and that hurt. That obviously hurt Cliff Robinson.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent.
Yeah. Scott Pollard, made the merge.
Made the merge, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent had a notable rivalry with Penner. Did pretty well. I think Danny is already at the upper echelons of professional athletes on Survivor. I still would give the belt to Culpepper. But it remains to be seen what happens with the rest of this season.
But I think Danny might be a better player than Brad Culpepper, where Brad won a bunch of immunities, but I almost feel like that he had to win those immunities as opposed to Danny, whose name just never comes up. I don't think, has he been voted for the whole season?
Not at all. Not once. And this is mysterious to me. I am very confused as to why no one has ever said, man, you want to talk about threats? How about the professional football player? Now, I think what this speaks to is, and you tell me, this is a theory, you tell me if you agree. I think it speaks to the shift that has happened sometime semi-recently, where physical is just not as important, is not seen as threatening as strategic skill, social skill, those kind of more less physical elemental bits of Survivor play. I think when people see someone talking to someone else, that feels like a threat now, not someone who's going to run up the score in a challenge.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think it also has to do with just the immunity challenges on Survivor. I mean, it's almost rare. You might get like one a season where individual immunity is some sort of like an obstacle course. Right. Like individual immunity tends to be stand in one spot and see how long you can, you know, hold on to this thing, hold yourself steady, you know, that almost every single one is just like a bunch of stations in a row.
Right.
And this time out, it just so happens that, you know, Danny was able to do that. I'm trying to think in the past, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, the strongest people have won that challenge. I know famously Malcolm, this is the one that did him in. Wendell, I think, also had like two shots at it in Ghost Island, and he wasn't able to win it. So, you know, good job by Danny getting the immunity this time out. But I just like that's just not how the challenges are these days.
Yeah, that's true. I guess my other thing with regards to Danny is it's hard to pin down exactly what his play identity has been, because he's kind of been in the background for a lot of it. It's, you know, if it's it's felt like, and maybe we will see a situation in which he stands up and argues that this was his plan all along. He has let Deshaun kind of soak up most of the heat for everything that has happened.
So it's been a great shield. I don't know how intentional it was, but you know,
that's the thing. Now, if he stands up and says, I was involved in every single decision that, you know, here, this decision, all these big ones. But no one cast a vote for me, despite me being an obvious physical threat, because I let Deshaun take all the heat for that. Now, if that's the case, man, he's playing on a different level than we know about, but I just go back to, We haven't gotten that until this episode, that confessional that lets us into what the idea is. How are we moving through the game? What is the big strategic vision that Danny has?
Yeah. Do you think, is there a 0% chance that one of those two guys, Danny or Deshaun, vote for each other before we get to the final four?
I wouldn't put it at zero. Anything can happen. And I think they are, listen, the Shan move, it did not come out the way that they expected it to. Let's just say that, you know, it for however it looked in the moment. And yes, absolutely, Shan was a big threat. You know, getting out the biggest threat and then having yourself be on the bottom in the following weeks is not ideal. And it's clear that Deshaun is scrambling to try and process how this has all happened to him. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to put it at zero. I think that there's a world in which they vote against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Were there any players from earlier in the season that you really enjoyed watching besides Tiffany that we talked about?
Oh, man. Gosh. You know, Nasir is a small light went out when we lost Nasir. I loved him. He was delightful every time he came across the screen. He was so comfortable on the island. I mean, you know, it's with all the talk about how about the privations of the season, and there's no rice and there's no food and we're starving, you know, then you'd see Nasir walk into the jungle, throw a stick up into the tree and like come away with papayas. Like three mangoes that just fall. Yeah, they just fall into his arms. And not only that, but was, you know, had a wonderful personality, was a wonderful guy. And challenge beast, like low key, you mentioned, the moment where Blue Tribe tried to throw the challenge and they didn't, they came in second because Nasir just would not stop pushing blocks down a chute, like went full beast mode with it. I loved him. He was so fun. Absolutely fun. Now, kind of the Ozzy thing in that, maybe got a little too comfortable with how comfortable he was on the island. Like, mm-hmm. I'm providing, I'm doing great around camp. These people are eating because of me. I'm a great competitor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why would they want to get me out? And that was his downfall a little bit. But I loved Nasir. He was fun.
Do you have a dream survivor that you would ever want to interview one day?
Oh gosh. Parv is probably my favorite ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that a real pioneering player, ultimate threat.
Yep.
Had to deal with, you know, I don't know, and you don't know this better than me, but for my money, she's among the best I've ever seen at everything has gone wrong. I'm at the bottom. The people I wanted to ally with have allied with someone else, and now I have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
She's the best at that. And particularly after, you know, the Black Widow's Micronesia season, was always like, there was such a mania about her from the other contestants. We got to get her out. She's, yeah. They talk about her like she was the devil. You can't even, if you even talk to her, she will get into your brain and, you know, but despite all that, always has played well. It was always heavily involved and did it with charm and aplomb and was like, a threat at all manner of the game. Really fun player to watch. One of my favorites of all time.
Jason, I know you watched so much Survivor over the long hiatus of Survivor. How do you think Survivor did in terms of that they had the Netflix people, they had the people who found the show over quarantine, that this was the season that they came back with? Do you think that creatively they made the right call?
Well, you know, the creative... You're talking about with the advantages and the shortened season, et cetera, and the kind of like quickened pace, the faster pace, Jeff breaking the fourth wall, all of that. You know, I think particularly coming out of COVID and having to deal with the structures and the strictures, that they must have had to deal with to make sure that everybody was safe and that wouldn't face, any kind of a threat from getting infected with the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of set the terms for what was possible for the creative. And so like I cut them, maybe it's like, what it's like in LA, everybody, like works in TV somehow or like on some, either like as a crew member or as a writer or whatever. And so I have a lot of empathy for how difficult it must have been to make this season. I have a lot of, I didn't love all the advantages. I thought it was confusing. I thought it was too much. I thought the game as it existed was, basically perfect. You know, like it's the two challenges and then the tribal council, that kind of structure. I loved that. So I have some qualms. I have some critiques, some light critiques. But I also think they did some really interesting things this season that, with a couple of adjustments, maybe could be fun going forward. All of which is to say, I think this was a fun season for people to pick up as newcomers who have been introduced to it either through binging, through whatever platform they wanted, or by watching, you know, Heroes vs. Villains or David's versus Goliath on Netflix or, or whatever that may be. I think this is a really great season to just pick up and watch.
Jason, something that came across my inbox this week that you pointed out before we came on to record. Do you want to set up what we have?
So I'm in a number of Survivor chats.
You mentioned this earlier, that stood out to me. Yeah, that how many Survivor chats are you in?
I'm in three. So I have a small-ish Survivor chat with my girlfriend and some friends.
Yeah.
So it's like four people.
Okay.
Then I'm in a larger Survivor chat with I want to say about 8 or 10, maybe 12 people, a full tribe of just of friends and acquaintances. And then I'm in a Survivor spoiler chat, which is kind of like people out. It's the people from that chat who have watched the episode and feel a place for they can feel free to talk about it. So it's really like 2.5 group chats.
Okay.
And so one of the people in my chat, Ariana Lenarski, who people who watched NBA Desktop might remember as the witch, Ariana Lenarski, who read tarot to predict NBA games. She and her partner came up with a Survivor song, and they dropped it in the chat last night, and it's inspired. I'll just say that. It's absolutely inspired.
Okay. Yeah.
I mentioned to you that they had submitted it. They had submitted it to you to the song contest.
Yes. And, yes. To the wand off that we did. So yes. This is a special circumstance. We would never do, listen to Survivor song parodies without, the great Josh Wiggler, but that this is your friend, that we're going to play this here. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Okay. All right. This is a debut. Anything you want to say to set this up?
Just pay attention to the lyrics because they're great.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Leanna begins on the Astro Tribe on season 41 of Survivor. She started in a woman's alliance and Xander was her rival. Leanna didn't use her shot in the dark and her knowledge had no power. She left her mark on Xander's heart, but soon that sweetness soured. And her life was almost saved, but Deshaun left out in the end. Couldn't stay, but she went out at 7. Now she'll never win. She will never win.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those pipes.
The pipes are calling. They're beautiful. Wonderful performance. Great arrangement. Killed it. Lyrics.
Yes. Yes.
On point.
That's Ariana.
Yes.
Yes. She could have done the song parody with her own name.
Yeah, I was blown away. Blown away. Remain blown away by the talent.
How often does a song parody make it into the group chat?
This is the first time. This is the first time. So another member of the group chat, Zach, had mentioned to Ariana that about the wand off. And
yes,
I guess hours later, this song appears in the group chat.
Wow.
They just got on it.
Went to record. All right. So, thank you so much. And I got the lyric sheet also. It's amazing. Great job. Appreciate it.
I will let her know. I've dropped the news that this will appear on Rob as a podcast on into the group chat, and I'm waiting to see what the response will be. But it's this what a joy.
Yeah.
To hear it played on this, on one of the great podcasts that we have in this world.
Yes. Thank you. Jason, any other Survivor takes you want to on us?
Just that, you know, I'm really thankful for this season. It's been a tough, it was tough without any new Survivor. It is, you know, it's a show I love that I am constantly introducing people to. You know, there's a lot of people I talk to who are like, oh, that show's still on. I'm like, you got to watch it. It's great. It's, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's not whatever your mental picture of this show is. It's wrong. It's really entertaining. It's got drama. It's got warm moments. It's got funny moments, et cetera. You will enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm really thankful that it's back. And, you know, for all the shakiness of this season, especially early on, I don't care. I'm just happy to have this to watch, you know, every week.
It really gets me excited to hear you talk about the show because, you know, I think of you as such a tastemaker in the world and you really, you know, you are, you know, exposed to everything and you could be, you know, spending your time watching any show. And the fact that you are so passionate about Survivor and, you know, have, like, text me theories and stuff like that. Like, you're way into it.
Thank you so much. That means so much coming from you. And it is such a, every time I've been on it, it's been such a joy. I listen all the time. I immediately boot you guys up, when the episodes are done. And so thank you. That's really nice to hear.
Okay. Jason, where can people, check out everything that you're working on?
Take Line comes out wherever you get your podcasts every Tuesday. It's the sports podcast that I co-host with two-time WNBA champion Renee Montgomery. Then X-Ray Vision is coming out Fridays right now so that we can cover the Wednesday releases. So like we've been doing Hawkeye on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. and that's X-Ray Vision for all your pop culture, nerd-based pop culture needs. And then All Caps NBA, a satirical, funny look at the National Basketball Association, comes out Fridays on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the No Buffs.
Well, I wasn't sure how you're so gracious. Thank you for letting me pump a competing podcast that we exist in the light of Survivor.
You and Skeeter, you're all so gracious that, you know, I just feel like that, you know, the person who loves Survivor isn't just like, you know, I listen to one podcast, that's it. Yeah. They listen to, I mean, you know how podcasts are, you know,
I do.
Like I, you know, live and die with, my Mets. And I can't tell you how many, Mets podcasts I listen to.
Oh man. No Buffs, we go live, Thursday afternoon/evening live on YouTube. And then there's a podcast version as well. That's, I'm really just kind of like the fourth wheel along with, the No Dunks guys. Mm-hmm. So that's Trey Kirby, Skeets, and JD, and you know them for their basketball prowess on The Athletic. But they're huge Survivor fans, huge mm-hmm. Survivor fans. And it's so fun to talk about the show with them. I remember like one of the first times I ever hung out with Skeets was at NBA Summer League. Like it must've been like 6 years ago now. And we just went to his hotel room and watched Survivor.
Yeah. And it was the summer. Yeah. It was you watched old Survivor.
Yeah, we watched old Survivor.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jason, I'm so glad that we were able to work this out and get you on here and talk about season 41. It's been so much fun. We also look, we're not done yet. Bryce Isaiah is gonna join me over the weekend on the feedback show. That Bryce is such a staple. There is, you know, just, he's going to talk about everything that's going on. We're going to answer your voicemails. Plus, we're going to get into everything on the patron Q&A on Monday night with Grace Leader. Plus this Tuesday night, Adam Klein is going to join us for a special patron only workshop to talk about reality TV casting. That's going to be at 8 Eastern. Adam Klein is a big casting guru for people who want to get on reality shows. Jason, if you're ever considering it,
listen, I will say that I have a close friend who has made it to the third interview for Survivor.
Okay.
So I'll be listening for them and telling them to listen to get pick up some tips.
All right.
They've been told they need a story.
You need a story. You need a why. I think that's very important. But I'll let Adam tell us all that on Tuesday night. All right. Thank you so much for listening, of course. Make sure you subscribe. Robinsonwebsite.com/subscribe. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.